Jordan
still offering peace and pardon to restless sinners, it is our privilege to proclaim the glorious gospel message. This offer will someday be withdrawn, but today is the day of His grace, and I ask you to listen carefully to God's precious word. My subject today is on bridge building, but first of all, listen to the choir as they bring to us a message in song. Common question that arises in the minds of all men and women is the question, how can I know that I am saved, that God has forgiven my sins, and that I am ready to meet God at any moment? From the time it was first uttered, it has not ceased to occupy the minds and stir the consciences of men and women. Many different answers have been suggested. Not long ago, in the correspondence column of a city newspaper, a writer gave his own view of the matter, and this is what he suggested. That salvation of the soul is much like building a bridge. He said, I begin to build from my side of the river, and I build out across the water. After a time, I reach the middle of the water, and find that another section of the bridge has been built from the other side, and to my surprise and delight, it exactly meets and fits into the section that I have been building. So it is with the matter of salvation. I have only to build, and by I shall find that God has been building from His side, and that His part of the structure perfectly fits into mine. To anyone who analyzes these words a little, it will be very clear that the writer knew very little about bridge building, and even less about the way of salvation. They simply don't build bridges that way. And certainly, a guilty sinner can never hope to be saved by any such means as are being suggested. The first need in building a bridge is a designer who is familiar with the conditions and who will lay out a plan. And that plan must be followed. Then again, a bridge cannot be built of any kind of materials. They must be according to specifications, or all will result in failure. The Bible teaches us that a terrible chasm stretches between the sinner and the holy God. By nature, he is at a distance from God. He is alienated from the life of God. This condition is common to all, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Unless this problem of sin can be effectually dealt with, this state of distance will grow and grow until it will reach the great gulf that is fixed, and the sinner will find himself eternally separated from God and from all that is true and holy and good, in the midst of untold and unending torment. But God, who alone knew the conditions perfectly, conceived a plan whereby that distance could be bridged, and in the person of his only begotten Son, who loved us, who went to Calvary's cross, who died for us, that awful distance that once stood between us and God has been bridged. And God has provided a wonderful way of salvation. He has provided the entire structure, the entire bridge, all by himself. Now listen to my text. It's found in Ephesians 2, verses 12 and 13. Paul is speaking to the Ephesian Christians and telling them something of what was true of them in times past. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The well-meaning gentleman who used bridge building for the illustration was not wrong when he pictured the unsaved man living at a distance from God, for that is a fact that finds a very prominent place in the Holy Scriptures. But the well-meaning gentleman was 1,000 miles from the truth when he suggested that individuals can help God build the bridge that will bring them back into fellowship with God. He certainly didn't find that in the Bible. It's amazing, but sad to hear the strange ideas that can develop in the mind of those who don't read the Bible. It gives evidence to the fact that the Bible has no value. When God has, whatever God has to say about the way of salvation means nothing to the average man. If he can think up an illustration that sounds good, even though it is opposed to the Bible, he will adopt it and say, "This is my belief, and I expect God to bow down to me and accept it." It must be a dreadful awakening for a self-taught man to eventually discover that God's plan of salvation, as announced in his precious word, is the only one that will stand. That Christ, by his death, burial, and resurrection, has bridged the distance and is ready to save all who will acknowledge their sinnership, their lost, and their guilty condition. The Bible makes it very clear that an unsaved man can't build, nor even help build, the bridge of salvation. The natural man is bankrupt. He has neither tools nor materials to build the bridge of salvation. Christ alone has built that bridge, and all there is left for the poor sinner to do is to walk out on it and to find himself immediately across in the family of God, with that yawning distance removed forever. The verses in Ephesians 2 state that we are brought nigh by the blood of Christ, not by his good life, not by his miracles, not by his example, but by his precious blood. It's not a cheap, flimsy bridge that God has provided. Paul called himself the chief of sinners because he was a super religious sinner. And one day, as he was converted, he trusted the bridge that God had provided. Many more have followed, and the bridge stands as strong and as able as the day in which it was erected. I want to ask you a reasonable question. Would you rather trust a bridge of your own making than the bridge that God has provided? Many are doing that. And as a result, they are lost, and they will be lost for all eternity. Remember, there's such a thing as blind confidence. If you still feel that you can build a safe bridge, or even half of a bridge that will bring you nigh to God, you are overloaded with self-confidence and egotism. Your prayers, your tears of repentance, your vows, your religious activity may seem like safe material for the present, but when you face death, you will want something stronger, much stronger, to assure you a safe arrival on the hills of glory. God's bridge carries a guarantee. For all who are resting completely in Christ and His accomplished redemption are assured that they shall never perish, but have everlasting life. If you are a victim of trying to help God in the matter of your salvation, you will express wisdom if you bring a sudden end to all your efforts and accept God's offer of salvation in Christ. He died as your substitute. God raised him from the dead in order to declare that his holy throne was satisfied by his finished work, and he lives today in the power of an endless life, inviting helpless sinners to come and find salvation in him and in him alone. The redeemed can say, "So near, so very near to God, I cannot nearer be, for in the person of his Son, I am as near as he." In these two verses that I read from Ephesians 2, you have two classes of people. You have those who in times past are aliens and living at a distance from God. Then you have those in the 12th and 13th verse who have been brought nigh by the precious blood of Christ. I wonder if you are in that first class, still afar off, a great distance between you and the holy God. Or have you been brought nigh by the precious blood of Christ, brought into God's family, and now you can look up into God's face, you can address Him as your Heavenly Father? If you have that distance still before you, I trust you will bring an end to it, for today you may step out upon that bridge that God has provided, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and died for you as a guilty sinner. Come to Him and say, "Lord Jesus, I want to trust Thee and the work that Thou didst do at Calvary's cross, and that alone, to save my precious soul. And if you will, God will save you right on the spot. God help you to do it this very hour."